Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and it's the bridge between Epiphany and Lent. Epiphany, the day we were led by a star to see God revealed in the baby Jesus. And in this time after Epiphany, we've walked with the disciples. We walked with Jesus as he was baptized, as he called his disciples, and then he taught the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. On Wednesday, we will begin the season of Lent, a time when we will reflect on our sinfulness as we prepare for a new life in Christ at Easter. It's a season which will last 40 days. But today, we consider the Transfiguration. Today, our texts take us up two different mountains. First with Moses, and then with Jesus. And up on the mountain, both Moses and Jesus meet God, and they are changed, transfigured. It's a change which will strengthen those with them for the road ahead. For the Israelites with Moses face a 40-year walk in the wilderness. The disciples with Jesus face a journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. And we, too, are at the precipice of a 40-day journey through Lent. The journey up the mountain is critical for us, too, and we, too, need the strength. The Israelites with Moses had escaped from slavery in Egypt and begun their walk through the wilderness, and it was hard. So hard that sometimes they wished they were back under the reign of Pharaoh. There was no food, no water. They were attacked by enemies. There were no laws or ordinances to keep the community together, and it was beginning to fall apart. The Israelites' trust in Moses and in the God who had taken them out of Egypt was waning, and they were scared. The disciples, on the other hand, were just told by Jesus that he's headed to Jerusalem, that he'll suffer and die, and on the third day be raised again. And the disciples don't understand. Peter takes Jesus aside and rebukes him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord." To which Jesus responds, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus calls Peter a stumbling block, getting in the way of God's plan. And Peter is confused. Why will Jesus willingly die at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes? And the disciples are scared. So up the mountain they go. Moses is called by God to climb on up, and Jesus calls his three disciples. Big things happen on mountains. Their encounter with God is one of these big things. Moses climbs the cloud-covered mountain, and on the seventh day, God calls from within the cloud and told Moses to come on in. And Moses spends 40 days and 40 nights with God. The people below saw the cloud covering the mountain, and they remember that God had promised to come to Moses in a cloud. They see the glory of the Lord on the mountain like a devouring fire. And when Moses climbs back down the mountain, the people see that his face has been changed in the presence of God. His skin shines, reflecting the glory of God. And they were afraid. But the people now understand that God will speak through Moses, and that they are to listen to and to trust Moses. The trip up the mountain and the meeting with God wasn't for Moses. It was to strengthen the people, helping them to know without a doubt that God is with them, guiding them and caring for them for the 40 years ahead. And have no doubt, the 40 years in the wilderness are not easy. There's enemies and food shortages, internal squabbles and rebellions, and many, many deaths. But through it all, God is there. God is with them. Up on the mountain with Jesus, the disciples experience the transfiguration of Jesus. They see Moses and Elijah, They see Jesus' face shine like the sun and his clothes become dazzling white. Jesus' face doesn't just glow from being in the presence of God like Moses' did. But the glow is in Jesus. The divine breaks through the humanity. And we're given a glimpse of the Son of God breaking through Jesus' humanity. The late Episcopalian Reverend Erica Wood claims that as with Moses, the transfiguration of Jesus wasn't for Jesus. Jesus had the strength to endure the cross and to take the journey to the end. The transfiguration of Jesus was for the disciples. God tells the disciples to listen to Jesus, and through Jesus, God gives them the strength they need to climb back down that mountain and walk with Jesus to Jerusalem. And God is with them. Well, there's many differences between the two narratives. An interesting bit in Jesus' transfiguration is that Peter wants to build a dwelling for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. We can only imagine how Peter must have felt. The road to Jerusalem was going to happen no matter what he did. Jesus had made that quite clear. But Jesus wants to stay up on the mountain for a while and dwell for a bit. He wants to savor the moment and lodge that moment deep in his memory so that it will give him the strength when he needs it. But God on the mountain literally interrupts Peter and tells him to listen to Jesus and to get up. Jesus then touches Peter and tells him not to be afraid. There's times when we must go back down the mountain, when we must change, when we must face the wilderness ahead. But we don't have to do it alone. In this time approaching Lent, a time when we honestly look at our lives and ask for God's redirection and forgiveness, I've been inundated by articles encouraging me to change something for the 40 days in preparation for Easter. Through this change, I can hopefully move myself away from the world and give myself the possibility of a deeper relationship with Jesus. Some of the articles encouraged me personally to give something up during Lent. And I read an article last night that of those observing Lent, 57% will give up something. One of the articles was titled, 19 Things to Give Up for Lent That Aren't Chocolate. The list included fear, envy, impatience, excuses, worry, and blame. All excellent things to give up for Lent. Some of the articles encouraged me to change and give up something in my diet. And I'll be honest, one year I gave up Dunkin' Donuts, and it helped my waistline, but it did not do much for my relationship with God. I think I missed the point. I've also been encouraged to give up lunch or dinner and then spend that time in study or prayer with God. A whole different strain of articles encourage a community or an individual to give something to others during Lent. 38% of those observing Lent will do just that. Catholic blogger Mike Lasky shared how in this time of deep divide in our country, congregations in the Northeast are working together during Lent to give to others. The congregations are together teaching English classes, serving meals, sponsoring families, and speaking out for justice. Individuals have an opportunity to give something to others too. They may fast and give the money they didn't spend on food to the hungry. They may spend a few hours serving the homeless, or visiting the shut-in, or tutoring a child. There's so many ways we can give something to others during Lent. But based on our texts for today, I'd like to offer a third way to walk these 40 days of Lent. What if we give something to ourselves? What if we give ourselves a trip up the mountain? What if we give ourselves, like the Israelites and the disciples did, time in the presence of God to be strengthened for our journeys? Can we let God during Lent change us and strengthen us? Let's be clear that encounters with God can and do happen on mountaintops, complete with clouds and devouring fire and the brightest of light. But encounters with God can also happen while we're washing dishes, driving to work, walking the dog, or during worship. Can we give ourselves the time and the space to encounter God? A couple of things to consider. First, perhaps we need to change something up in our lives so that we can encounter God. A friend of mine did everything under the sun in his congregation, and he'd been doing it for years and years and years and years and years. He taught Sunday school, set up leadership programs, worshiped weekly, served on the call committee, more things than I can possibly name. But he confided to me once that he hadn't really heard or experienced God in years. He'd been following the adage of fake it until you make it, but not having an encounter with God for such a long time was taking a toll on his faith and on his life. But this week he sent me a video clip of the worship services that he now leads once per month at a homeless shelter. This man put himself into a new situation that is so much out of his character. But he now hears God, feels God, and experiences God in the homeless. He needed to change something in his life, not just do more and more and more of the same. And by making this change, God gave him the strength that he needed to keep his faith alive, so that he can continue to serve God and his neighbor. A second thing to consider is that perhaps the noise of our life is such that we can't hear God. Kind of interesting that God in the cloud on the mountain interrupted Peter, interrupted him. I can just hear God saying, "Peter, can you be quiet for just a minute and let me talk?" Too many meetings, too many carpools, too many meals to fix, too many doctor's appointments. Sure, we're in worship, but are we really? It is so easy for our minds to be writing the grocery list. We're thinking about what we're making for lunch or how we can get our child to practice today. Consider giving yourself something during Lent. Stop talking. Stop moving. Dare I even say stop thinking and just be still. Listen to God. If we really do give ourselves a trip up the mountain during Lent, when we really do give ourselves space to encounter the holy, what will we do when it happens? Will we be fearful, like the Israelites and the disciples? Or will we be open to God's presence and strength in our lives? God reaches out and tells us, "Do not be afraid." God tells us not to hold on, not to build a tent, not to stay put, but to trust that God will be with us and strengthen us for whatever road lies ahead.